The hard walls are melting. There's one thing I need to say in regards to my own personality. I do feel a little uncomfortable. Floating seat high above the clouds. I'm no prophet. There are reasons I am told by my team for visibility. So I will for now be a little uncomfortable. But I have a goal today to bring you in contact with the most realistic event in your life. With the event which will take place 100%, but which is overlooked or brushed under the carpet by most of us, our own death. It is interesting point of material civilization, that because they identify with the body, to pass through the door of death is something that puts an end to all their possibilities. This is how Jean-Paul Sartre explains death. It's the end of all my possibilities. For the spiritualist, he knows that the body on which most of the people base their existence is never really there. It's always changing. To enter this subject, I would love to play you a very moving audio recording of Srila Prabhupada. The circumstances of this recording was very heart-wrenching, you could say. A mother brought her 14-year-old daughter to Prabhupada because the daughter had been diagnosed with an illness that would take the life of the daughter in the next 2 weeks or so. So it was 2 weeks before her departure, where I believe it was Arundhati, I don't know which Arundhati and so on, brought her daughter to Srila Prabhupada for comfort, for solace. And Srila Prabhupada addressed death there. And if you see how he deals with this subject, you will most probably understand why it is so beneficial to face our own mortality, to look at our own death, and remember our immortal, our eternal, blissful existence with Krishna. Death puts to end all of our constructions of reality, and for spiritualists, it leads the devotee to understand his eternal relationship with Krishna. I am very, very, very sure that this subject is quite shocking for most of you. But I think after the meditation, and perhaps after the extended question and answer session on chanting and facing our own death, you will see a great change in your perspective. I knew many years ago I gave such a presentation in one of the earlier Holy Name retreats in the Mendler Institute outside of New York. And two people who never thought of initiation surrendering to Krishna became absolutely transformed and changed. They are very known to you, but because it's such an intimate subject, I want to keep it a little bit for yourself. So let us give I also want to see that our Brahma Tirtha, whom I am so much welcome in this, in all sessions, but this session is for him. We want to supply a chair for you. Is there a chair for Brahma Tirtha? Because Brahma Tirtha is in the autumn of his life, and yes, here. He has a good seating with a good view also. So let us see, are you ready? Let us move now into this room where Prabhupada consoles a young little girl and her grieving mother about death and points out the immortality. We have put the text there so that you can follow Prabhupada, because the recording is not so super good, but you will see. Watch for his voice. I think when you hear his voice and how absolutely certain he is that we are all parts of Krishna, you will see something. Okay. So this terminally ill young girl has heard Prabhupada saying, nobody is going to live in this world. Prabhupada has informed her, but if you come to your Krishna consciousness in this life, you will actually perfect your life and be with Krishna. And now this little girl asks, and it's not clear to Prabhupada what she says, so Hari Sari repeats her question. If one is not complete in the Krishna consciousness, then what will happen? And Prabhupada, speaking about this girl, she will, if in case she is not perfect, she will get again birth in a human body. That is guaranteed. So that he or she will get another chance of chanting. Yes. The recording is a little bit, like Swiss cheese. Many holes are there. But I think you could hear Prabhupada's matter-of-fact voice. Now, don't you understand who's living, going to live here? He really speaks from a realization of I'm an eternal soul, a part of Krishna. When Kadamba Kanana Maharaj, a beloved, a very close friend of mine, left his body he said, "You are all worrying about me. You are full of anxiety. But that what you are worrying never was alive. It was the body, which I, the soul, made alive. So I'm worrying for you. Don't worry for me." It's a very direct thought. You do laugh in your ISKCON style, which is beautiful laughter, but not often deeply reflected laughter. My dear devotees, you are not the body.
Oh.
You are an eternal soul, and chanting means you engage on the soul level and prepare your journey to Krishna. I would like to ask all of you to think a little bit about it. If you fast forward now in your life, let us say 20 years, this will be a time when you will all grieve for the loss of a loved one. Perhaps your physical father, your physical mother. If you fast forward 30, 40, 50 years, it might be your friends who are going over the threshold of death. Now, I was a little while ago going to the burial of my mother, who was very kind to me. She always said I was her most beloved child, but she couldn't let the other children know. she remembers when, you know, mothers sometimes throw their little baby boys into the air, and I would always scream, "Higher, higher, higher." And she would say, "No," because she said, "I know you are my little angel, and if you go too high now, you will fly away. One day you will anyways fly away." She knew I would become a devotee. I would become like this and leave material life. And she said, "I always knew you would fly away. You would move away from our materialistic civilization. And when you as a baby screamed higher and higher, I said, no, no, not now. Now you stay as much as possible with me." So I came to the, I don't know how you call it. She was already, her body was burned. So it was turned into an, please help me, urn. Is that an English word? So for putting this in the family grave where my grandfather and my dynasty was buried, I was invited, and I still remember when we turned with our car onto the parking place before the chapel, our GPS, we heard a news, "You have reached your final destination." And I immediately felt, well, GPS is really intelligent and philosophical. Yes, told me the truth. It had brought down the truth. My dear devotees, there's nothing as sure as the death of our loved ones and our departure, our own departure from this world. Yet, at least in Europe, 75% of the people leave the world without having written a will, a testament, because perhaps they thought, like you, it will happen to others, not to me. I know that in our society, we also deal with this. The GBC has ordered, we must, especially the rich ones amongst us, must leave a will, because otherwise, where will it go? It's an uncomfortable truth which we do not face. But if we face it, my dear devotees, all our spiritual possibilities will come to life. Krishna says that we must face fear and become free from it. We must face our attachments to this world and become free from it. He says, I've written it down for you, freed from attachment, fear, and anger, fully absorbed in me and taking shelter in me, many persons in the past, by their true knowledge of me and their austerity, where they have tolerated discomfort, they became purified and obtained love for me. No? So freed from attachment, fear, and anger by the process of spiritual life, one can obtain love for Krishna and make their human life successful. I would like to now lead you into facing your own mortality, your own physical death. I'm a little bit, there's so many things I have to put here. And I will ask you to do something that is quite unusual. It will help you, however, to authentically discover what you would like to do with your life, with the remaining things, and to, as they say in England, become a better version of what you are now. Or, as I would like to say, paint the picture of your life with the most beautiful, creative ways. Also, I believe that this exercise will help you to become a little bit more serious into applying the insights you have made in this Holy Name retreat. I will also tell you why I personally venture into such a subject during the Holy Name retreat. As you perhaps know, by Prabhupada's grace and the kindness of the Vaishnavas, I am often invited to Holy Name events. I have been given Holy Name retreats all over the world. There are godbrothers of mine who also do it wonderfully, like Mahatma Prabhu. I'm not the only one. And have dedicated a big part of my life and youthful energy to spreading the Holy Name in public and so on. I've become very, now as the autumn of my life has knocked on my door, I'm looking to the Hare Krishna movement, and I have a deep desire that the devotees will become blissful and will actually become lovers of Krishna and the Holy Name. But I see it does not always work so well. The statistics are not convincing me of this. And therefore, I begin to, I have made a conscious shift. In the past, I was frustrated and became judgmental, bitter, and aggressive. This is not good. Now I'm thinking, how can it work? How can it work in my case, first of all? I'm the most difficult one to convince. And then how can I convince best of the world? I'm aiming to meet the president in the White House and give an interview there for the world. Joking. So, are you ready? Yes. He's ready. Are you afraid? You don't have to be afraid. It will be very gentle. Do you have enough oxygen? This is a question I have. Chameshwari, is there anything we might do to open more windows, or are they all opened? I don't see Chameshwari. Sorry? They are all open. This is as good as we can. Those who sit, close the window. No, not closing windows. No, open windows. Even if there is no mosquito net, death can come also through a mosquito net. So we don't need it. Good. Prabhus, there is air. That we have, realistically speaking, air. And there is clouds. This is very good. This is as good as we can do. Yes, someone doing something? Yes, thank you, Krishna. Yes, yes, yes. He will be a lot there to remind you of this New Vrindavan. I need to see, are you all comfortably seated, as comfortably as it is possible? We have one more free chair. Is there anyone who feels discomfort sitting on the ground? No? Let me ask you, are you awake or are you tired?
Awake.
Do you need an energy exercise?
Yes.
Get ready for your Bhastrika Pranayam then. No, this is very serious. We want to really make an experience. Don't be afraid. There will be maybe some sweat, but you don't have to smell good for this exercise. He doesn't know why we laugh, but he still makes a sound. Okay. Are you ready for your Bhastrika Pranayam? This is good for lung circulation. It is good for the nervous system. It is, if it is done over a period of 1 year, you will lose all your fat that is excess. But those of you who have a heart condition, a heart machine or so, do it very gently, not in the way which the majority will do it. Please take your fists like this. I will show you first how to do it. Don't do it. First watch me. On an inhale, you go up and try to bring the, what is it called? The air into the lung area. It's not for breathing into the stomach. And then on an exhale, which is quite forceful, you bring it like this. So while you go down, you close your fists. I have to concentrate because I usually do other exercises with people. Okay, bring your hands into the starting position and breathe well in when you go up and open your hands, and breathe well out when you are, how do you say, yes, I thought that was a peacock flying here. Good. Please continue. As you do this, you will bring a lot of oxygen first into your lungs. From there it will go into your bloodstream. From the bloodstream it will go into your brain and keep you awake. Breathe in and out only through your nose, not the mouth. You look very energized. Try to bring traction and energy in your hands. Amala, you should be a Madanga man. You should have good arms for this. So we will speed up now. Look at me. Those with the heart condition, stay slow. When you go a little to your limit, it's good. Four more. Zwei, drei, vier. Kindly bring, no laughter, please bring your hands to your stomach area. Little girls, don't laugh now. And the right hand over the left. As we do this, I request Jai Krishna or his good wife to maybe lead our friend to a better location, because we will meditate, and when he always screams in, it's so shocking, you know. So maybe someone can just gently, friendly, with good convincing words and arguments, perhaps some grains, bring him to a better situation where he doesn't disturb. Deep breaths. Normal breathing. My dear devotees, we will go on a journey. I can feel in the atmosphere a good anticipation, that's good. But we need a second round of Bhastrika Pranayama. I can also feel that, so get ready. For your second round of Bhastrika Pranayama, please try to not laugh. It will become very serious. At this moment, the laughing is inappropriate. So just please get ready. Very good breathing. Conscious breathing. You really want to breathe in as much as air as possible. If you should think about sweat and such things, please understand you're not the body. You're just using now the body to make it fit for good meditation. We will slowly accelerate. And five more. Very good. Excellent. Kindly bring your hands in the area of your tummy or belly and do a few relaxed breathing. Observe your body. And when you're ready, please close your eyes. Inhale deeply and exhale longly, I wanted to say, but have a longer exhale. It's now time for yourself and for the Lord. Withdraw your mind from what is going on in your day and concentrate or bring your focus to the breathing sensation at your nostrils. You might notice that on an inhale there is a cool or cooling sensation in your nostrils. On an exhale, it is different. Breathe, and when your mind moves to any other subject, as it will, bring it to your in and outgoing breath. If it helps you, imagine you stay with your breath, like you walk next to a friend, for instance, and stay on his side, so you're now staying with your breath. Yes, I can feel the mental energy is still very dispersed. Bring your mind, please, to your breathing. Please do it. It will center you and focus you. As your eyes remain closed, see yourself in this room. And more important, see yourself in the station or the phase in which your life is now. Perhaps you think of your spouse, your partner, perhaps the children or the child for which you have taken responsibility. Perhaps you think of your job, or if you have no fixed job, what you do in life. Just see yourself where you stand now in your life, the people with whom you are, the concerns or responsibilities or activities which you have at the moment. Don't go too much in the future, what you will do in the next half year or so. No need. Just stay with your life as it is now. If there should be overwhelming worries, you can also quickly touch them, but just take inventory. Don't identify with everything, anything. Kindly take an inventory of your life as it is now. By the way, if one of you should, or two or a few should cough, that will happen as your system slowly settles into relaxation. So don't feel, it's always at the beginning of these meditations, some of us will respond with coughing. It's a pleasant coughing. No problem. We will go into the future. Please build up some willingness and openness to go into your future. Let us fast forward our life 20 years from now. Where do you think you will be? What will be with the friends? How will they look? Perhaps your child or children. Where will you be? If it's very vague, it's no problem at all. And now move on another 20 years. We are now 40 years from now. Some of you are 50 years from now. In your mind's eye, picture a large gathering of people filing or coming into a room. You have seen this when you are here in the yoga shala, how the room gets filled with people. See a large gathering of people moving into a room. The mood is serious. There's a somber expression of those in the eyes and mouths of those people. You have departed the world. And this is the occasion of your own memorial service. Try to picture the scene. Where exactly is the gathering taking place? Is your remains, your body, is it there in a carcass? Or have you had that body been burned already? And perhaps most important, who has come? It is clear from their faces that there are many emotions going on. But can you imagine what they are thinking and feeling? Are they missing you perhaps? And how do you feel seeing them all? Everyone is now seated. And the person who knows you best comes forward to give a speech, which is known as a eulogy. Who would that person be? Your friend? You can even imagine a friend who might not be around at that time any longer, because this is about relationship and what people feel for you. Who would that person be? The speech starts. First, they begin to talk about your life. General information, where you were born, your youth, how you were, your education, where, how much, how long, where your first job was, or your first major occupation, perhaps your first lecture or your first kirtan which you sung. hand like this. They proceed to talk about your interests and the major junctures in your lifetime, when you were on a crossroad, when you decided, well, I will take this spiritual life very serious, or when you decided, let me spend extra time in India, when your social media really picked up, if that was of interest for you. Try to envision and listen into the speech which someone who is close to you gives about your life. The speaker changes now his tone. You can hear that he is becoming filled with good emotions about you. They talk about the more deeper things about you, how you felt inside, how you were as a person, what you really loved. And they speak about three areas: what they loved in you, your personality, what they thought was the greatest achievements, or how do you call this, the greatest things you did in your life. And they even talk about how you made a difference to the world, perhaps in your family, perhaps amongst your friends, perhaps if you were more influential in a community. So they start with the first area. The speaker says, what I loved most about this personality was, and they talk. Please complete what they loved most about you. It's not necessarily your voice or the way you dressed and looked. It's something more, something that has more to do with who you really are. The speaker really meant what he said. He really loved something which was perhaps even important for you, something that you wanted to put out there. The speaker turns to the next subject. The greatest achievement of this personality was, again, complete the sentence or the paragraph for them. What was your greatest achievement? They may talk about things that you were really successful in, building up a family or a circle of friends. You were an inspiration in perhaps changing something. The greatest achievement was complete what you would like your greatest achievement to be. Good. Now the speaker turns to his final concluding part of his eulogy. He starts this final part by saying, the difference which this person made, the difference to the world was so and so. Please complete also this subject. What is it that you would like to be loved by? What is it that you would like to achieve in this life? And in what areas would you like to make a contribution that really makes a difference, if only in one or two or three or 10 people's life? As you reflect on your activities and character now in the past week, you can ask yourself what you have done to become the person that you have just described. If you want to be remembered for your kirtan or your chanting or your discipline in your spiritual life, what have you done in that direction? If you want to become an author, what have you written last week? Please look at your life now again, now, and ask yourself if there is anything you would like to do regularly in order to recalibrate or correct or improve your vision and reassess your priorities. And as this is a very important subject, let us turn to Krishna for a moment, glorifying him and perhaps asking him for help. As we go through life, there are so many uncertainties. Yes, we may have desires, we may have insights, but without the divine support of the Lord, this will not easily come where we want things to be. As you sing, join the eternal song. Turn to the Lord as the soul within this body, asking for the Lord's help. Rama, Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. One person who was with you before you came into this life. There's one person who knew exactly your face before this life. There's also one person who is now with you in the core of the heart. The same person will be there when you say goodbye to everything in this life and move on. And there's this person who will welcome you. Is there anything in your heart you can express to that person? Actually, chanting means to address Krishna, to express something, communicate. Please start now.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama, Rama, Hare, Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.
One more time, please. Addressing that Sakyo, well, Sakyo means two friends in the heart, but addressing that one person, everyone please. Hare Krishna.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama,
Then Srila Prabhupada visited the place of my birth, Hamburg. He spoke to the devotees, "Do you understand Bengali?" It says, Krishna Nama Karo Bhai Ara Sabamitya. Just chant Hare Krishna. Everything else is false. All other means of making some solution in this life is false. Why? And he continues in Bengali, Bailaiba Patanoi Yamo Ache Piche. You cannot escape. This is waiting behind you. So before death comes and overcomes you, you make a solution of that problem. That is intelligence. The greatest danger is awaiting me, death, that is sure as death. Now you make a solution of the problem. Prabhupada says what the solution is. If one wants to achieve success, he says, at another place, at another time, at the end of his life, the process of remembering Krishna, that is essential. Therefore, one should constantly, incessantly chant the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
And then he quotes part of the Trinadapi verse, which tells us how exactly, in what frame of mind we should chant. He says, Lord Chaitanya has advised that one be as tolerant as a tree. Taro iva sahishnura. There may be so many impediments, like I don't want to get up early, I don't want to give prominence to my chanting, all impediments for the eternal soul. Nonetheless, tolerate these impediments. One should continually chant so that at the end of one's life, one can have the full benefit of Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna. Life is a preparation. Did you ever know that what you do now, that is what you become later? Or let us say it in a different way. What you have done, that is what you are now. So this holy name immersion, or this idea of focusing on the holy name, improving our chanting, is preparation for a life of eternal bliss, yes, inner knowing. Yes, automatically, without reading or repeating anyone else's words, in a knowing such it, and bliss. We know pleasure, but bliss is Taittiriya Upanishad speaks of millions of times more intense than the greatest pleasures which the world can give. Now, this is bliss. Thank you, Peacock, and thank you for being peaceful. Yes. Krishna, Krishna. Theek hai, is that all right? Good. My dear devotees, please now turn to your neighbor and discuss with them what went on for you. And while you do this, we will make a cosmetic change in this room for a very exciting last part of this workshop. It will be actually a panel where we invite all the wonderful Kirtaniyas who do so much service for spreading the holy name to come here and share their insights. We will request you to ask questions, and then we will direct the questions to those where I personally know that they are most suited to answer these questions. So please, this will be 3 minutes. Please turn to your neighbor, discuss. Not you, Ram Govinda and Prahlad, just... For some, these type of exercises work better. For some, they may not work so well. But for all of us, we know, yes, there will be also this gate through which we have to pass. And it is good to prepare our consciousness so that we are with Krishna. My dear devotees, you see our Kirtaniyas here. I thought it would be so nice, because they all carry a treasure in their hearts, otherwise they wouldn't be able to do this excellent service of spreading the holy name, both inside and outside. Our Achyuta Gopi, they had a program with 46,000 people in Ahmedabad in attendance, chanting. I've seen video. Gauravani, so many CDs. Amala Harinam.
No CDs.
So much YouTube presence and our, but Kirtan Premi, also so solid service in Vrindavan to the youth and so on. But these are not, these are just the extensions of what comes from their service. And I thought it's nice if you ask questions. The way we did it in Radha Desh and it worked is that you just put a question, and if you trust me, I know these devotees, I will direct the questions because I know they are good in answering this question and that question. But if you are burning to ask a question to an individual, you can also do this. Please know, I am only here the master of ceremonies. I'm so happy to have climbed down that seat. and I will not be able to answer any questions. They are directed to these devotees, but I will be helping you. So, do you have any questions or anything? Yeah, I see this devotee. Yes, please. Yes, do we have an extra wireless cord? Microphone, or we can also, yes, please.
Hare Krishna. My question is on the topic of attentive chanting.
time and again in these workshops and elsewhere, we hear that chanting must be attentive, and that's the only real way to chant. But my question is, what really is attentive chanting? Is it simply hearing the sound vibration, paying attention to the words, the sound vibration, or is it also being aware of the personalities behind the sound vibration? Mm-hmm. Or is it also being aware of the relationship with the personalities and then being in a prayerful mood? So I think I see there are so many layers to attentive chanting. And yeah. What does it really mean?
I think this is a question which Kirtan Premi is destined to answer. Why? Because Kirtan Premi has been in the association of Ayendra Prabhu, who we all recognize and so much appreciate with gratitude as a really servant of Nam Prabhu, and teaching by his example. So perhaps from your experience as someone who was trained by him, or from your own experience, please shed some light on this question.
See, the attentive chanting is the most essential thing for advance. I've mentioned this many times. It's basically, what is the holy name? The holy name is calling out for Krishna. It's the name of the Lord. And when we really call somebody, we should be attentive to that person. If I call Amala Harinam and I'm looking at somewhere else while I'm calling him, the reciprocation is not there. Even Amal feels that, oh, I don't know, he's calling my name, but he is like looking somewhere else. So in that sense, when we are actually sitting for kirtan, because that process is to call for Krishna. If you're doing something else, and in unattentively you chant, like how what's his name? Ajamil did. You get the benefit of it, but when you're sitting for kirtan or japa, an attentive chanting is very essential. So it's like you're talking to Krishna, so you should talk to him as a person by calling him by his name and having a conversation. For an exercise, what I usually do before doing kirtan, for the first few mantras, I put my full effort to focus on every single name. The first few mantras, so that if you begin well, you will continue well. So that mood is there to ever start kirtan. For the first, I mean, this is just a practice that I do. You can apply, or you know, it's better to do the whole time attentive, but our mind is our best friend and our worst enemy. So it'll keep running here and there, you know. So yeah.
Excellent, excellent. With also a very practical advice. Are there any other questions? I see Brahmatirtha Prabhu. Is there a yes? We need a microphone, man, or we can pass it like this. Yeah.
I give a scenario that applies for japa all the time, but it must apply to kirtan. Right before the kirtan begins, you get a phone call, something difficult has happened. Something that's really on your mind. And you're trying to get into the kirtan, but you're thinking about it. How do you pull your mind back to the service which you must do in the kirtan? What's the secret?
Wonderful. I think this question is destined to be answered by Achyuta Gopi.
I have stopped trying to separate the two. If Krishna is going to be there, And then Krishna is going to be in every situation. There was once a time His Holiness Srila Guru Govinda Maharaj was facing some immigration passport issues. And so he was being kind of detained by immigration. And where they had him in the detained room, he said, "Bring Gopal." He had his traveling Gopalju. And the devotees said, "Guru Maharaj, you want to set up Gopal here?" He said, "He brought me here. He should be here too." What to do? So I feel that if Krishna is going to be my real friend, do I not tell him everything? And if we have real friends, but we don't go to them when actual things happen, how good are they? How close are they? And so I've since stopped trying to separate the two. And so sometimes I'm throwing all kinds of things into my kirtan. And I've had kirtans that I've sung, and then afterwards, I've had really intuitive devotees come up to me and they said, "You're really going through it, huh?" And instead of feeling self-conscious about it, I looked, and it was one Mataji actually. She said, "Really going through it?" I said, "Yeah." She said, "It's okay." And so if I try to make a distinction, I just get tired and really frustrated. But if I say, "I'm here and so are you, Krishna. And the only way I can get through this is if somehow you carry what I lack," because, and that means everything, because I'm lacking. So just carry everything and preserve what I have, which is probably a mustard seed's worth of anything. Then that is the only way that I get through it. And so it becomes so much easier if I just stop trying to do it myself.
Yes, please. I see one person in the back. I cannot see. Please get there in the back. Mm.
Hare Krishna. My question is same type of what Prabhuji said about wandering mind, and especially when you are chanting, your mind chatters for so many things that won't help you to like focus. And as we know, we read in Gita, and we heard, I've heard so many things to control and bring it back and everything, but it's really hard to be attentive. And I would like to, Maharaj or anybody, we can talk about it, how to really bring it back and focus. And so my chanting can be nice and meaningful. Thank you.
This is a question for Gauravani. How to bring the wandering mind away from the latest drawing.
Hare Krishna. I'm only up here because Satchinandan Maharaj is being kind. He's like being egalitarian. He's like, "All the kirtaniyas be on the panel."
Well, we voted. It was unanimous.
You have voted.
How to bring the wandering mind back. I once heard a very funny thing from someone who I don't often quote publicly, Navayogendra Maharaj. Navayogendra Maharaj said sometimes his mind wants to go for pizza. He says, "You go for pizza and I'll keep chanting and I'll be here when you get back." From my heart, I can only say, based on any, you know, whatever very limited realization I have, that for me, a big part of why bhakti works is the sangha. And I think why my family and I are here, and probably why many of you are here, is because we try to steal away as many moments as possible to be together with other like-minded people. And that there's strength in numbers. And if I'm not strong enough, then maybe when I'm with my friends or my mentors, I can be stronger. And I'll just end with a very mysterious comment that the late, great Ravindra Swarup Prabhu. You know Ravindra Swarup Prabhu? Ravindra Swarup Prabhu, he's...
You said late.
He passed away? No, he didn't pass away. He didn't pass away. No. He didn't pass away. I said not late. But Ravindra Swarup Prabhu, for those of you who don't know, Ravindra Swarup Prabhu has been going through a lot of crisis from aging. And his time on the front of the battlefield of the ideas of Krishna consciousness seems to have waned. But some of the things that he said during his life really stick with me. Like, I just love them and I adore them and I cherish them. And one of the things that he said, which I find very challenging, but I find it to be true in my heart, I hope you're ready for this. He said he has a philosophy or a hypothesis of Krishna consciousness that we all go back to Godhead, or we none of us go back to Godhead. Have you ever heard such a thing?
He has said.
He said this.
Yes, I remember twice he said it, yes.
So as we know, he's great now and he will be great always, Ravindra Swarup Prabhu, because devotees are ones who remind each other when we lose our way. So I hope that is helpful. For me, I find it very challenging when devotees are in times of sickness or difficulty, or it seems that someone who's our hero is struggling in their Krishna consciousness. And you think, how could Krishna abandon Ravindra Swarup Prabhu? You know, he gave his life and his intelligence to serve Prabhupada and Krishna. Where is Krishna now, you know? So I don't understand all these intricacies of karma and the past and Prabhupada and this and that and our service and all these things. But I do know that whatever we do inspires others and encourages others. And we become part of this army of Prabhupada, of Mahaprabhu. And we find strength in that and encouragement in that. And so even if our mind wanders or we make mistakes, we're bound up together.
Wonderful.
Hare Krishna.
And I think you noted the subtlety is that strength lies in the Sangha, no? That can inspire us where we are weak alone. Yes. Is there another question? Rasa, I'm so bad in remembering. Say your name, Rasa.
Rasa,
the ocean of Rasa, of course. Yes.
Thank you. I have a question maybe for all of you, or Maharaj can choose which one who answers. All of you grew up in Krishna consciousness, are second generation devotees. And my question is, at what point japa and kirtan became your own practice and your own process versus somebody the society told you to do, or your parents told you to do, or teachers? And how did you adopt it on your own? And the reason I ask is because I see this in Silicon Valley, where we come from. There's youth that sometimes ask this question. And so I wanted to know your perspective. Then when did it stop becoming an imposition and your own journey towards Krishna?
Wonderful question. And I think, really, of course, he's the last one left, but I know that Amala Harinam Prabhu, I first met him actually in Vrindavan when he was a member of the 24-hour kirtan group, and when he dedicated himself to
Kirtan is perhaps a very interesting story, and perhaps also your insights that made you. Oh, you have a microphone. Good.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can look back, and because obviously seeds need planting, and so all of us here, we've had our journeys, but the seed, I think, was planted, I think, in a previous lifetime, but at least in this life, by my parents, our parents, specifically with transcendental sound vibration. I have memories of my parents always playing kirtans and lectures and getting ready in the bathroom in the morning for the morning program, hearing Iyengar Prabhu's Vrindavan mellows. I didn't know anything about the person, but the imprints became there in my heart at a young age. For me personally, a natural attraction towards being in kirtan was there from before I could even crawl. My parents didn't have a harmonium, and they said the first time someone brought a harmonium to their house, I lit up with excitement and managed to get over, and no, I'd never seen anyone use one, but I knew to start pumping it. So, like that, the environment I was raised in made a big impression. But then, of course, we have our own, our come to the stage of our own desires and ego, arising. And so, the teenage years, I definitely got into other types of music for sure, and. I would say what it makes us become attracted again to Krishna and his devotees, because I think it's quite rare that any of us have stayed like japa and kirtan our whole lives, you know, just like we're totally attached to the whole thing. I say a little sarcastically, some of us have, but me personally, I definitely explored the material, what the material world has to offer. And I think what, like Gauravani was saying, the sangha of others is what really can transform your heart and your desires. So for me, going on a ISKCON Youth Bus Tour was, I can say, at 17 years old, the moment kirtan reawoken in my heart. I don't know how they found out, but they were like, Amal can sing. He's going to lead a kirtan on the Harinams and the Rathyatras. And that summer was just like the rebirth of really myself, and being around Achyuta and Gauravani and the Mayapuris that whole summer, just being exposed to the world of kirtan again, it really pushed me to just always seek that association. Wherever there is wonderful, nice kirtans being performed, I want to be there, I want to assist, I want to be part of that. And so having that hankering and that desire is really what pushed me forward, and it just continue, always, still now, continuing to be in the association of those devotees who are attached to singing for Krishna is really what keeps me going.
Wonderful. Yes, yes, yes. As one god brother always says, time is also there. Yes. What to do? We take. I see. Maybe we can take one last question of I was on your very wonderful Zoom class, and I only know you as Happy Jack, is it?
That's right, Happy Jack.
Really?
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
My question, is it okay to do our japa while we're walking? That's how I do it now. That's how I prefer. I find it really hard to sit. I've made the decision this whole weekend I'm going to sit and do it. It's really uncomfortable. But you mentioned it in the Vedanta Sutras. It says, you know, we must sit. And then there's other devotees who say to me, there's no hard and fast rules for chanting. And I guess maybe I'm just like looking for a window, an excuse to feel okay doing my japa walking, but I'd love to hear some perspectives.
Maybe I have an idea how to do this. The comment I was referring to comes from Baladev Vidyabhushan on the Vedanta Sutra, who says for prayer and japa, it is best to sit. Then he says, but if it's difficult to concentrate, one can also walk. In other words, whatever works for you, that is there. General things are general things, they're also there. There is a reason why sitting is good, you know. You are doing yoga. I can teach you some yoga exercises for the legs, which will make sitting the most comfortable sofa-like activity you can imagine. Hare Krishna. Good. Yes, please.
I also find it hard to just sit and chant, and I also like to walk and chant at the same time. I think a little bit is what's important is to check the mentality behind it. I overheard a devotee talking about how he actually runs and chants at the same time. And he used the term, I kill two birds with one stone. And so that didn't quite sit well with me, kind of like complete two tasks at once, you know, this is my daily duty. So in one sense, yes, we should get it done any means possible. But I just didn't find that the mentality of I'll get my exercise done at the same time as my chanting quite the way to approach it. And Maharaj has mentioned before, it's really up to us because Krishna wants to see how badly we want him. So we know at what stage we are being attentive, in which practice we're being attentive. And really, there's no one else that's going to hold us, you know, hostage or accountable. In the end, we're going to have to decide for ourselves, am I really remembering Krishna? Am I hearing his name when I'm chanting and exercising at the same time?
Hare Krishna, wonderful. Amar, I have something. I have a question to everyone now. Nothing over. I'm a kind person by nature. Everyone, Achyuta, Gauravani, Amala Harinam, Kirtan Premi. Now, imagine this is your chance to address a group of willing chanters how to maybe improve their connection to the holy name. What could you give them? Imagine we are in a lift now, Empire State Building lift, old style lift, they don't go so fast, but you have 2 minutes until it reaches, and there you know, in 2 minutes or 3 minutes, you have to explain a tip, tip you can share with everyone, how to improve their relationship to the Holy Name, because that's why we have come to. I think we will start with our first speaker. Is it all right? Ready? Yes. Good.
There's so many things that goes in my mind right now when Maharaj speaks about it, this question. One of the things is just, I want to reflect to what you had shared yesterday with the three gates. I don't know if this connects, but I'm just trying to share this. And the three gates of body, mind, and heart. I was just saying the soul is something that we don't realize. We say we are the soul, but we don't realize it. We always identify as this body. That's why we are where we are, because we always identify this body. We never identify the soul, because if we identify the soul, we have moved on. We're a step ahead. And this mind, body, and heart are such a practical visualized things that you can actually see in our worship or in the exercise. A mind you can visualize because it runs here and there. You can, right now Maharaj was speaking to us. I personally felt when Maharaj was taking us through this whole journey, my mind ran like anything. And I could realize I went to sleep at one point. I mean, this very honest.
Yeah.
And many times I came back and I'm like, where is he? Okay.
What are you doing?
Yeah. And it's that's so the mind is a personality itself. Even after it is a part of me, but it has its own reign. It keeps running here and there. And so the mind, the body is us, which we identify as, and the heart. The heart is where Krishna resides, that the third personality is always with us. So I would say when we do the holy name, we should never feel when we chant. Kirtan is, of course, what's the rule for kirtan? Two or more is considered as sankirtan. That's what we do. But realize when you're chanting, you're two and more, because you, your mind, and Krishna is there. You're not alone, so it's also kirtan. You're doing kirtan.
Smart.
So, if you feel like you're alone, you're not alone, because if you are alone, then you'll go crazy. That keeps you sane. So this is something I've got from Maharaj's Empire State Building lift. Thank you.
You have reached the top. Ashuta Gopi, what is your message to this group?
I'm a New Yorker. Just going to preface this with I'm a New Yorker, and Maharaj knows this whenever he says, what are the final thoughts? And then mine are always like these really strong, direct final thoughts. So, get ready for strong, direct final thoughts, final destination thoughts. I've listened to several lectures from Ayendra Prabhu. And those of us who have really been affected by Ayendra Prabhu, we hold him in such high regard. And I understand that some of us in the room have no idea what's going on with that, and that's okay. What I want to say now in bringing the essence of what his speaking was down to in terms that everyone can understand, if you take anything away with you from this holy name immersion, stop looking for and accepting the bare minimum. Stop. We are at a point, how many times are we simply going to read Bhagavad Gita for one simple point or one controversial point, and then we get stuck on the one controversial point, and what did Srila Prabhupada say about this gender or that gender, or, and it doesn't matter. Which was what I realized in our final meditation. What does it matter? It doesn't. At the end of our lives, the most important thing that we will have taken from Srila Prabhupada should not be anything that divided us on any of the language or terms or conditions that he might have used. If you find something controversial or hard to digest, keep readings. Don't stop there. It doesn't matter. stop focusing on that, because the mind will take any excuse, right? So we tell the mind, okay, we're going to sit down and we're going to read. Wait a second. But did Srila Prabhupada say that women are less intelligent? But what if he said that women are less intelligent? Well, what does that mean for me? It doesn't matter. Because now we spent 45 minutes concentrating on, are women less intelligent? And we didn't even get to the sweetness. We've missed the point because we keep settling on the bare minimum. Keep reading. Because Srila Prabhupada believed in us. And if we get stuck, then what was Srila Prabhupada sacrificed for? So for myself and for all of us, and Ayendra Prabhu said so forcefully, stop staying at the ABCs. Have the courage to go deeper. Read more. Find out about all of the personalities in Srimad Bhagavatam. Not for the purposes of saying, because that personality is better than my neighbor or whomever. It doesn't matter. This body is going to end and none of that will matter. It will not make any difference. However, if we have the courage to go deeper in our Krishna consciousness, that's something that we can take with us because Srila Prabhupada believes in us. Otherwise, he would not have suffered 2 heart attacks, a mini stroke, no doctors, 40 days on a cargo ship, coming here begging Krishna for more time, not for him, but for us. Do not accept the bare minimum any longer. We have another day and a half together. We have more kirtan in the evening. Dive deep, because none of the other stuff matters. What somebody said to you yesterday doesn't matter anymore because that person is dead. Srila Prabhupada says, every day you take a new birth. I guarantee you it happens. I have that much faith in Srila Prabhupada. So, if Srila Prabhupada had faith that we can do it, well, we have to now. I mean, it's a challenge. An exciting one at that. We should be excited. This is an adventure. So none of the other stuff matters. The controversy doesn't matter. The disagreements don't matter. We don't have to accept the bare minimum anymore. We can dive deeper. We have to. Open the jar. Get the honey. Serve it to your friends. That's all.
Yes. My dear devotees, I'm really in a difficult situation, but time is also there. So we will, no, we want to hear Gauravani.
You're not getting out of this.
One time, my Guru Maharaj, His Holiness Radhanath Swami, pulled me aside at one of his yatras. And we were there at the edge of some Leela Stan. And he said to me, I have no idea why he said this, but it was very meaningful to me. He said, sometimes I miss the old days when I didn't know anything about anything. And I would just come here like a child with a childlike heart and think, something magical here happened with Radha and Krishna. And I would just be, you know, grateful and stunned in that mood. My request in this elevator pitch to all of the devotees is to please not lose your authenticity or your childlike enthusiasm. I was late. I was fighting a throat infection. It was like this incredible, like almost like miraculously difficult thing that happened over the last week to me. Never been more painful. I didn't even know a throat could be so painful. My wife will tell you, it was horrible. It was like, I don't even know what happened. It was like a demon attacked me or something like that. And so I've just been really like, just trying to make it through each day. So I'm late, I'm coming, and this kirtan is going. And I just want to rush into the kirtan because, you know, it's thundering. I was hearing across the hills, I'm late. I was totally in my head. And then I just stopped for a second. And I was hearing the kirtan going out over the hills. It was so beautiful. And then I stopped and I saw the sun was shining through the clouds. And I thought, you know, like, who can I share this with? Nobody. So I just thought, let me just take a second and appreciate this gift that Krishna's giving me by myself, me and the peacocks and the ducks, you know. Rather than just rushing through it and rushing into kirtan, trying to find a seat, I just stopped and I appreciated it. And the whole time I was thinking, I hope this is okay, and I hope the devotees don't see me, that I'm not coming, that I'm like lingering outside. It was just so, but it was so beautiful. And then the peacock out here was doing a full dance. I don't know, the one that's been disturbing, he's been doing a full darshan, like the whole time. Yeah.
Poor guy.
Yeah.
He just wants to like.
and so I came, and just at that moment, the thing that made me feel like it was totally correct, that I just was in the present, trying to be grateful and happy and feeling the presence of the devotees, is as long as it took me to get here, the moment I turned around, there was Sachinandan Maharaj. I seeing him for the first time. The timing was perfect. In other words, if I had come earlier, I would have missed greeting Maharaj. And Maharaj was there, and the peacock was there, and Maharaj looked, I have it on video, and he's like, hello, peacock, dancing for Krishna. And Maharaj was like, hey, whoa. It was that perfect moment. I was there for it because I didn't rush through things. I wasn't in my head. I was allowing myself to be a child and just appreciate being a devotee, appreciate whatever struggles we're having. So please, my humble request to all of you is, no matter how old you get, please don't lose your authenticity and your genuineness. Genuineness.
Yes, if you, there's a poem. Stop, where are you running? Everything you're looking for is in this moment, and it is in your heart. God, eternity, soul. If you keep on running, you might miss it all. We are poem lovers. We like to share poems. Hare Krishna. Here's the last for this panel.
Just very small point. Find that activity that relates to Krishna. Consciousness means being conscious of Krishna. Find that activity that makes you think of Krishna while you're doing it. And then just really do it with attentiveness, with care, and ultimately with love. That would be my advice.
Yes, find that activity that connects you with Krishna. Do it with care and love. Wonderful. I hope you have a little idea that these personalities can also speak. They don't just sing. So as we are going together through this retreat, if there is a time where you, which is appropriate, please approach them, discuss with them. If they need to go somewhere, they will run. But also, there's always a little time to have this Sangha. I thank all of you very much, and you also very much. As I said, time is there. At 2 o'clock is the prasadam. But before that, Abhiram, do you have?
Abhiram.
We have our local indoor poet. And it's for free.
Hi, Krishna.
Is it on?
Hi, Krishna. Hi, Krishna.
Krishna, Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
If it's difficult, you can have this one. It has.
Thank you, Maharaj. I'll be quick because prasadam is in 6 minutes. My poem will be exactly 2 minutes. This is my elevator pitch. Okay. As the journey continues with the holy name, the process of melting begins of the walls of our heart. It's an active endeavor as we absorb with depth. We must all be focused and enthusiastic doing our part. To pass through the door of death puts an end to many a possibility. For the spiritualist, it is beneficial to come in front of our own mortality. It suspends our constructions of material reality. Happiness and distress simply our perceptive duality. We must understand the conception of our soul's eternality. Prabhupada says, nobody will live, don't have anxiety. If incomplete, getting birth in a human body is a guaranteed piety, so we can chant again and again and be a part of this Krishna-conscious society. We live as if it will never happen to us, experiencing every desire and sensation. And before you know it, you find out you have reached your final destination. You just missed that festival where you could have met your spouse. Or you're about to meet the president at the White House. This is an uncomfortable truth that we do not face, but it can happen to us at any time, in any place. What do you want to be loved for? What do you want your greatest achievement to be? What legacy do you want to leave in the world? Ask yourself what you want to see. There was one person who was with you before this life. There's one person who will be with you after this life. Open that dialogue of communication and turn to him. Feel the connection within your heart, body, muscle, and every limb. There may be so many impediments in our chanting. Prabhu, I'm too busy. I don't have time living in my imaginary kingdom as an imaginary person. I'm too busy thinking of me, me, me. I'm so special. What's mine? If one wants to achieve success at the end of your life, the process of remembering Krishna is essential. Constantly and incessantly chant the Maha Mantra, you'll be achieving your greatest spiritual potential. Attentive chanting, calling Krishna's name. How do we bring our mind back on track? Bring yourself in the Sangha of devotees and cut yourself some slack. Krishna is our friend waiting if we go and have pizza and come back. Because ultimately Krishna preserves what we have and carries what we lack. So here's some tips. Some people may run and chant, kill two birds with one stone. Sankirtan by yourself already has Krishna in you. You are not alone. Keep reading, keep chanting, keep singing, and don't resort to any unnecessary chatter. Stop looking for the bare minimum, because ultimately this doesn't matter. Sometimes you may miss the old days where you didn't know anything at all. Do not lose your authenticity and enthusiasm. Appreciate every moment, no matter how big or small. Find that activity that makes you think of Krishna while you're doing it. Put your energy and care and you'll end up finding out that you're loving it. Open yourself for this holy name immersion and let your feelings keep showing. Even though you may think you're physically tired, the holy name will just keep you going.